Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You could have been there Saturday, Andrew, and it would have made the heartbreaking LSU loss a little bit easier to take because you could have had 136 draft beers. You could have had something from their awesome menu. You could have seen them lose on a 50-foot TV.
My heart wasn't broken.
They did just dump truck Auburn. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not. They did. That's good. They're on pace to be a 10 seed.
Yep.
Yay.
Just get in. That's all I really want this year.
They're entertaining. I think and if they get in, you can go to the Pelican House, watch it. They got LSU baseball going to be starting up soon. The Pelican House, they're awesome. Go there. 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they
see the thing about LSU basketball is you know they're not making the tournament next year. So whatever they do this year is going to have to hold us over for 2 years minimum.
Yeah.
So they got to make it this year.
Yeah, because if they don't make it this year, Johnny Jones, because they won't make it next year, he might get fired.
Yeah.
But if they make it this year and then they squeeze into the NIT next year, he's good.
Did you guys go to LSU? Did either of you guys go to LSU?
Yeah, I did.
I went to Washington and Lee. Oh. Ever heard of it?
Ralph, you? Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You and three other people in Louisiana.
No, I see Washington and Lee decals on people's cars uptown here. It has the W that kind of looks like
swastika.
No,
it's okay, you can say it.
It doesn't look like a swastika. It looks like Poseidon's trident thing.
Yeah, it does look like. In fact, they call it the trident.
The trident. No, I went to LSU, class of 99.
Old man, I graduated high school in 99.
I am.
Yeah, me too.
I am old. So.
Did you go to high school in New Orleans or New York?
No, New York.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So the Saints actually had a little bit of news right before the show, which is rare for them. Usually they break news after the show. They're bringing Rob Ryan back. No, just kidding.
Oh God.
Just kidding. They announced Dan Campbell, Peter Gunta, Aaron Glenn, Joe Lombardi, who we all knew, but Ronald Curry, name from the past. Did he? Andrew, you know him as a Raider receiver. I didn't know who the hell. I when I think Curry, I think a basketball player.
I think Indian food.
Peter,
you don't like Indian food?
Peter Gunta, he was
it's
the defensive.
Okay, I'm not a big fan of curry. Apparently, it's really good for Alzheimer's, though. So if you have that in your, there's your health. There's your health tip of the week.
So
you have that.
Olive Garden
curry.
Red sticks cure?
Not obesity.
Yeah. Constipation. Lord. So the coach, and they announced Dennis Allen is going to be defensive coordinator, which everybody pretty much knew. So the staff is settled in.
We feel good about the staff, right? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have liked to have seen them bring Curtis Johnson back as a wide receiver coach.
I feel like Curtis Johnson's just gonna wait a year for that Tulane, that sweet Tulane money to keep rolling in, and then he's gonna go somewhere and be like a recruiting coordinator for a big time college.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So this Super Bowl is this week. Andrew, of course, we don't want Carolina to win.
No.
But before we get to predictions and that sort of thing, I find it – I do – the thing about Carolina it does give me hope is their cap situation was a disaster. And they sort of got out of it really quick, you know. And they did it really quickly, Andrew. They just had a couple of good drafts, and they still have – their cap is still kind of a mess, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, anytime you invest in a quarterback in a $100 million contract, it's only a matter of time. And when you have success – you have to start paying guys one by one. I mean, you're kind of seeing it with Seattle already. Yeah. You know, the end is already kind of...
God, the end can't come fast enough for them. Jesus,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell there's already issues, and, you know, they had the Cam Chancellor thing, and that's only going to get worse, and so he's probably going to leave. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Carolina's next up.
Yeah.
At least they're having success, you know. At least it's not like Atlanta, where you pay a quarterback $100 million and you don't have any wins.
No, I mean... I will say this, and look, at least Carolina, Dave, they did punch their ticket. I mean, they got home field, and they punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. The Saints did the same thing in 09. They got home field. They punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. Atlanta had home field twice in the last, what, 7 years, and they didn't get no Super Bowl.
2 points.
2 points.
Was that at home that they only scored 2 points?
No, it was on the road. It was against the Giants. Okay.
It was against the Giants, but I didn't know whether it was in New York.
It was 2011, right? It was the year the Saints.
The year that won the Giants won the Super Bowl.
No, yeah, it was the year the Saints beat Detroit, and then the Atlanta played that Sunday morning, right?
And they right.
And they scored 2 points because I was driving back and I was like giggling the whole way.
Well, the two times they had home field, they lost once to Green, in the first game to the Packers.
Yeah.
And then the next time they won a game, right?
Yeah, they beat
they
Seattle.
They lost in the
barely.
NFC Championship after having like a 17-point lead, right?
Yeah.
Then they blow a big lead.
Yeah, yeah. Biggest blown lead in
the
history.
The Falcons went to the NFC Championship game? I've already forgotten
the
about
Falcons,
that.
The Falcons went to the Super Bowl once.
They did.
They got housed by the Broncos, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. John Elway. Yep. Good for something.
So, I mean, this game, I want to root super hard against Carolina, and I probably will, but I have this weird soft spot for Roman Harper. I don't know why that is, but I just feel like Roman Harper is going to...
Why do you not know why? He played for the Saints helped the team win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I have a...
But he also helped us... potentially lose a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm easier on him than a lot of Saints fans, and I just feel like he's going to do something spectacular and in the Super Bowl, and there's going to be a huge argument on Twitter among Saints fans. There's going to be the, well, we shouldn't have let him go, and then there'll be the, dude, he's Roman Harper. He wasn't that good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously have a revisionist history when it comes to Roman Harper. I think probably the reason that you still have respect for him and still like him and are still willing to root for him, and I think I'm probably the same way as you, Ralph, but I think the reason for that is probably the same reason that despite Jason David being so terrible, we still, as a person... as a straight up dude, we still have respect for him. I mean, Roman Harper was always a stand up guy. He was always a nice guy. He still calls into WWL and does interviews with Bobby and Deke whenever the Panthers play the Saints. And I mean, he never did anything wrong off of the football field.
I don't know how he was.
He was a model. He really was a model.
Yeah, and of course he played for Alabama, so there are some people in Louisiana who did go to Alabama and ties to Alabama.
I didn't watch Media Day because the NFL stupidly put it on at night. Who the hell does that? So I didn't watch any of it. But on 2009, when they used to do Media Day during the day, Roman Harper because, you know, it was the Saints in the Super Bowl, so of course I'm watching the live stream at work. Roman Harper was tremendous during media day. They only had like four people around him, but he was talking about his gray hair, how he went gray when he was nine. And
yeah.
I mean, he was just tremendous. But
wait, you're exaggerating. Nine, really? I mean,
no, that's what he said. He said he started going gray when he was 9 years old.
Wow, that's wild.
And he thought about coloring it and all kinds of stuff. But so basically,
I mean, that must have been kind of rough, like in high school.
Yeah.
High school kids can be brutal.
Like when you got you got a gray patch of hair, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a fraternity brother in college who, you know, so 18, 19, he is full on gray. And I saw him recently, and it's full white now.
Oh, my.
I mean, he's actually a year younger than me.
Like
so
Peter Graves white? Like Leslie?
Yeah, like old man, like 80-year-old white. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I guess Roman Harper has the same thing. It's insane.
Yeah. My son was born, came out of the birth canal with, like, these two or three wiry gray hairs, like, in the center back of his head that he's had
no
his
way.
Entire life. It's really weird. I think it's kind of like
he still
a birthmark
has it?
Thing. Oh, yeah. He's got, like, these three or four, like, wiry gray hairs, right? Center back of his head.
That's kind of cool.
And I think it's kind of like a birthmark kind of thing. But look, as a baldy, I would take gray any day of the week over not having hair.
Yeah.
Dave, you're a little prematurely missing some hair there.
Yeah. I started losing my hair when I was like...
My brother lost like all of his hair, but I'm still good at like 30... Nine. I'll be 40 in March.
Yeah, I'm hanging on.
I mean, honestly, I'm married. I have two kids. What does it matter anymore anyway? So it's like it's less you have to deal with, comb, wash.
You don't give. Fun. You just don't give a shit about your appearance. You're just eating gummy worms.
Yeah.
Going to Olive Garden.
Yeah. Well, no, not Olive Garden. I go to much better restaurants and still eat whatever I want.
No, so yeah, real quick about Roman Harper.
What's the advantage of being married? If you're not gonna
yeah,
let
yeah,
go.
No, you're right. So, real quick about Roman Harper, the one thing I want to say is I feel like most Saints fans, I mean, maybe I'm just interacting with the ones on Twitter that are actually educated, but I feel like most Saints
Wait
fans...
Wait a minute. Fans on Twitter that are educated, those two do not go hand in hand.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, but you know what I mean. I think most Saints fans have a good grip on Harper. They're like, he's an older player, he was never that good. He's not that good now. He's just on a defense, and he has a lot of players around him that are really, really good. And
yeah, that's probably true.
I actually think Carolina is a perfect fit for him because he's got all that talent around him, and they really utilize his character, his locker room presence, his leadership. And I think so often having guys like that in your locker room is vastly underrated. And I think if you rewind back to the Saints last year, that's what they were sorely missing is they unloaded so many of those guys and they were left with a really young roster that didn't have the leadership of Roman Harper. They really suffered from it. So, yeah, like you said, Dave, I know you've met him before. And I mean, I've talked to him briefly a couple times and he's just the classiest, most stand-up guy. I mean, I put him on a short list in the Sean Payton era. I'd put him in the top five, top 10 of just most approachable, kind, nice guys on the Saints.
You know, and the thing about
how
Roman,
can you not root for a guy like
the
that?
Thing about Roman Harper is he is just a solid, above average NFL player that does some things really well and some things really terrible.
Yeah.
And
but I think if you look at the entirety of his career, I mean, two Pro Bowls. This will be his second Super Bowl with two different teams. I realize that's a function of team success, not his performance, but you know, he had a 7-sack season, second round draft pick. I mean, I think you add all that up together and he's had what I would consider a way above average NFL career.
Yeah.
Certainly not a Hall of Famer, but a very, very good player.
Yeah. The other thing I want to get to before we get to Super Bowl picks and some Twitter questions is, Andrew, I was talking to you was it last week sometime or
yeah?
And you are officially a convert and are joining the Trade Down Association headline 100%. By President Kevin Held. Explain why you are joining the trade. You are officially 100% converted over to our side of the trade down.
Yeah, now Kevin's not here to defend himself. Now, I don't want him worrying that, you know, in his absence, I'm planning a coup d'etat.
No.
He's still very much the president.
If he's the president, I'm vice president. I've always been on that bandwagon.
Yeah,
too.
So I might be
if
the
you want to
treasurer,
get on board, you got to be like secretary or something.
Yeah, I'll be the secretary or the treasurer. That's fine. But I'm on the train, baby. As I look at this draft, you know, and we've talked about this at length, Ralph, but I just think accruing picks, the bottom line is, especially now in this era with all the simulated draft stuff and technology where you can watch tape of these players on YouTube, and there's just more access than ever for your average fan. So and I'm guilty of this. We all are. That we're all draft experts, and everyone thinks they know what's best for the Saints. But the bottom line is, if the teams aren't getting it right, then we definitely would not be getting it right in their position. And the reality is, you just don't know. You can't predict injury. You can't predict poor fit. You can do enough to educate yourself and give yourself the best chance of hitting, but the reality is, most of the time, we just don't know.
Yeah.
And so based on that, I've seen enough drafts. I've been an NFL fan for long enough. I've seen the way Seattle, San Francisco. Now, San Francisco has had some troubles lately, but if you look at the last years really leading up to these last year or two, leading up to this last year, they've had a tremendous amount of success.
New England
Patriots have sustained this method for 10 years. And the bottom line is, those teams might have had draft picks, a lot of them, but they had so many that the bad ones were outweighed by the few good ones.
That's the thing. San Francisco, they picked Aurelius Ben, I think, in the first round, and he was a train wreck.
But they don't suffer from it.
It doesn't matter because they have 10 picks. And here's the thing, and then I'm going to harp on all offseason, and I already was fighting with people this week on Twitter. And here's the thing is, if you can accrue as many picks in the top 120, which is about four rounds, you're better off. And the thing is, one guy is not fixing whatever's wrong with the Saints.
No.
And the thing is with fans is
like, no matter what.
No matter what. No matter who it is. I don't care if it's JJ fucking Watt. JJ Watt, he was really good as a rookie, but he wasn't a megastar. Like, there's like, and here's the thing, the odds of getting JJ Watt are like what?
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah. So the problem is fans they watch YouTube clips, and I'm guilty of it. You lock in on one player, and I was arguing with a bunch of people this week. They're like, well, I don't care if you trade all the picks and you can solve and you can get the top defensive tackle, you can get the top pass rusher, and you can get a defensive tackle. You solve your two biggest needs. So what if you give up the picks? It's a crapshoot anyway. I'm like, but then you're betting it all on two guys instead of, you know, why can't you fix your pass rush instead of getting the 12th best guy and the 15th best guy? Why can't you get the fourth best defensive tackle, the seventh best outside linebacker, and fill your needs and have more picks? It's just because it's a total crapshoot, Andrew. If I give you a bag and I say there's JJ Watt in this bag, you get one shot of it. You got one shot of 100. Or I give you another bag and I say, Andrew, you get 5 picks out of this bag, but the best you're gonna do is Roman Harper. But there's a 60% chance of you getting a Roman Harper quality player. What bag do you pick out of?
The 5 choices.
Yeah, and I think
more guys. Give me more guys. More bodies. The issue with the Saints, so you look at the roster right now, and depth is just a major issue. So if you were to tell me that I could have 5 players, and one of them is going to get hurt, and one of them is going to be trash heap, but 3 of them are going to be guys that make the roster and will serve some purpose, some meaningful, positive purpose on the team, or I could just have one starter, full-time starter, I would take the 3 guys. And that's just the reality of, you know, I want Miles Jack just as bad as anyone, but you know, you mentioned locking in on one player. That's the philosophy that the Saints had the offseason they picked up Jairus Byrd. And that's the problem when a guy like that, you invest that kind of money and he doesn't deliver, you're left with not much behind him, and he's sorely missed when he's gone. Here. And so I just think in hindsight now you look at the Saints, they don't have that depth.
Yeah. Well,
they're,
I mean,
not one player.
You don't want – the problem for the Saints is we make Daniel Ellerbe out to be this, like – when he played, the defense was fantastic. You know, the problem wasn't that Daniel Ellerbe was good. The problem was when he got hurt.
It's
you went
Danelle.
You went from Daniel Ellerbe to
it's
Michael.
Danelle. It's Danelle. Not Daniel. God damn it!
I am a name champ. Danelle Ellerbe.
Just say Ellerbe. Please.
Ellerbe. Ellerbe.
He doesn't know he's saying it wrong, so he doesn't know to just avoid it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm actually doing something else. Anyway.
Yeah, I was on ESPN today, ESPN Radio, doing I have a Tuesday spot in Ruston, Louisiana, and I found myself in the middle of the 15-minute segment talking about kickers and realizing very quickly that I didn't know how to pronounce them. So I basically just named the school. I was like, the kicker from Florida State, the kicker from Duke.
Nice. That's why you're a professional.
Well, I couldn't be sounding like Ralph.
No, yeah, no one can. Well, maybe if people
you don't want that.
Maybe if people would donate, I could get pronunciation lessons.
Yeah.
I don't think it would help. No, but the quality drops from Ellerbe to Michael Maudie, and that's like off a cliff. If it dropped from Ellerbe to like a fourth round pick who was functional,
Deion Jones, baby.
Yeah, Dave. Here's a question that I got in another Twitter fight with somebody, and my argument was, they're like, if you get one Pro Bowl player or one Hall of Fame player, that means the draft is successful. And I told him, I said, I don't care if Brandon Cooks goes to the Hall of Fame. The 2014 draft was a garbage can. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct. And I don't think that the judge of a good draft class is getting one All-Pro guy and pissing away the rest of it. And you and Andrew just touched on it. You know, obviously, I think we would all take, a few quality guys or a handful of quality, you know, guys over one guaranteed amazing talent or whatever. Unless you're talking about QB, I mean, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
Obvious, but
yeah.
You know, I think we're all in agreement here, and I think
well, the best example of it is 2006. We all view that as the greatest draft class in the history of the Saints,
right?
And the first round pick with Reggie Bush wasn't even that good,
right? Yeah,
it was pretty good, but Reggie right. Bush ended up being like the fourth best player for the Saints out of that class.
Yeah, and for picking him number two and giving him like $50 million, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah. And I think we're all hoping that that this past draft class from 2015 that just finished their rookie season, I mean, I think we're all kind of hoping that this draft class is more in line with that 2006 draft class than just about any other.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if that's going to end up being a great draft class.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying that it's going to be a great draft class. I'm saying I think we all ideally would hope that that's what happens, and I feel like this recent draft class has the best chance of any.
Definitely,
at least
and here's
well, you know it's a good start, Dave. You know it's a good start. They're all on the freaking roster.
Well, no,
starting training camp.
Well, here's the thing, though,
yeah,
Andrew. The 2014 the draft, right. They all made the roster. But the thing that I think separates 2015 and gives me a lot of hope.
No, they did not.
Well, Ronald Powell made it,
no,
right?
No, Kari Fort was cut after like 2 days. They did not make the team.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, he made the opening day roster, though, right?
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He was on for like 2 weeks. Ronald Powell made the roster.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
Like, the thing that separates 2015, Andrew, is they're playing. Like, we all knew, me and you would argue with people on Twitter about Stanley Jean-Baptiste. They'd say, look, well, he's like Keenan Lewis for Pittsburgh. Keenan Lewis didn't play his first couple of years. I'm like, yeah, but Pittsburgh didn't have a dying, desperate need at corner, and they weren't playing undrafted free agents.
No, their corner, they were very deep at that position.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, like, all these rookies for the Saints, I don't know if Davison is any good. But you know what? The Saints were desperate at defensive tackle, and he was playing.
Right. And that's exactly
the reason all these guys are getting playing time is because the roster isn't very deep whatsoever. But, you know, hopefully next year the roster will be deeper and it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge for these guys to get on the field.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Andrew, their history says they're not going to trade down. The best you can hope for is that they don't trade up.
Yeah,
right.
You know?
Well, that's what I'm worried about. I'm panicked that they're going to lock in on Miles Jack and be like, oh, man, if we don't jump up to 9, the Giants are going to take him at 10. Mortgage a third-round pick. Let's go. Let's get him. I mean, I just wait to 12, and if you don't have the guy you want at 12, then trade down.
Yeah. Have they ever traded down in the first round under –
Never. No.
No, they...
I think they've traded down, I believe it's like 3 times in Sean Payton era, and it was all like later picks.
Yeah, they traded down in the second round in 2003, because I worked the draft. But I think that's it.
Yeah, but that wasn't Payton.
Yeah, so I just... That's the thing. I don't see them trading down. Unless Ireland can... Now that he's been there a long time, maybe he can... talk him into it, but he's not really a trade down guy either.
He's not, but if you listen to clips from last year, you know, that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis talked about being in the room, and they said that Jeff was a good voice because, you know, their tendency was to overreact and be aggressive, and he was like, reminded them to kind of let the draft come to them.
Yeah.
So hopefully hopefully they can keep doing that.
Hopefully.
So, because that's what happens. You give up a third round pick to go get Miles Jack, then you don't have one, then he gets injured, and man, you really wish you had had that third round pick to bolster your depth.
Yeah, I mean, there's New England's had the most picks over the last 5 or 6 years, and the Saints have had either the fewest or the second fewest.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Super Bowl picks. Andrew, do you care to venture a Super Bowl prediction?
Yeah, I mean, I think both defenses are outstanding, and I think Denver at times may make Cam Newton look a little silly. I think Cam Newton has really improved his play in the second half of the season and is a deserving MVP, and he's been lights out in the playoffs. But I think he hasn't really faced a defense of that caliber, and I think the Broncos are going to play them very well. Ultimately, I just think Peyton Manning's a shell of his former self, and I think he's going to be terrible. I think the Panthers are absolutely going to eat him alive. We may even see a QB replacement at halftime. And it's going to be that bad. And I think it'll be low scoring, but it's going to be like 24-3. Like, the game will never really be that close, and never really feel like the Broncos have a chance.
Fun trivia, the last Super Bowl team, I think, to make a quarterback switch, not because of injury, was the Denver Broncos in the 1977 Super Bowl, or 78 Super Bowl, against Dallas, where they turned the ball over like 8 times.
Who was their quarterback?
They had Craig Morton to start, and then they put in Noel Reese. He's an LSU quarterback. They put him in the second half.
God, how do you know this?
Because I don't have a life, really, and I just I watched all the Super Bowl videos when they used to be on ESPN, the 2 weeks between the Super Bowl. Like I
fancy myself knowing football history, but that was way over my head.
I love the NFL films. Super Bowl 30-minute videos. Like, I love them. Like, the Saints being in the Super Bowl, being able to have that...
NFL films like my son knows Star Wars.
Yeah, like the Saints having the 30-minute video is, like, one of my favorite things about the Saints winning the Super Bowl. Because now until the time that I die, that video will be on when the Super Bowl comes around. It'll be on some sort of... Some time at a weird time... you'll put it on and it'll be like, yeah, the Saints won the Super Bowl. Like, and I've probably seen each of the 49 Super Bowl videos, Andrew. I crap you not, at least each one like 10 times.
Yeah.
Wait,
you know,
did you read that article?
In hindsight, go ahead.
Did you read that article about the guy that owns Super Bowl?
Yeah. Your boy wants $1 million from the NFL. The NFL offered him $35,000. If I'm him, dude, I'm I'm breaking the tape with a sledgehammer before I'm selling. I'm giving it 35 grand.
I gotta say, I'm really glad that that Darren Sharper didn't have any memorable plays in the Super Bowl.
No kid. Good Lord.
It's nice that you can watch that game. If you watch the season DVD, obviously he's littered all over it, and he was a beast. But at least in the Super Bowl, if you kind of skip the season or you just see a show about that game, you don't have to be reminded as much that he was such a pivotal part of the team.
Oh, Lord. And the thing is, he really wasn't a pivotal part of the team the second half of the year. Like, his knee, his knee started to give out, and he wasn't nearly the player that he was.
He had a big pick late in the year. He had a turnover in the playoffs. He had a fumble recovery.
Yeah. But he wasn't like the pick six machine.
No, he wasn't gangbusters like the first 8 weeks. Oh, I mean, I don't know if you remember, like, the first 8 weeks of the season, he was getting MVP talk.
Yeah. Dave, what do you think? How do you think the Super Bowl is going to go?
I think Denver has got the better defense, and defense wins championships. But I just feel like the Panthers are a cohesive team. They've got a complete package, and I honestly think they're the better team. So I think it'll be a close game. I think when you have two teams with great defenses, it's always a close game. But I think the Panthers win, unfortunately.
I think – here's my thing with Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning is like – when I was in college, my dad used to have this old white pickup truck that had a pipe rack, and it was fun to drive, but you could not go over 60 miles an hour. If you went over 60 miles an hour, it started to shake, and it would overheat. I think Peyton Manning is like that. I think Peyton Manning is like that truck. And when he played in the AFC Championship against the Patriots, they were never behind by more than like 3 points, and he never was in a position where you were like, "Oh my God, New England's up 13-3. Peyton Manning better get the ball, and he better drive down. And he better get a field goal or a touchdown right now." And I just feel like, in the Super Bowl in the first half, Carolina is going to jump up like 14-3, and it's going to be like, "Oh my God, Peyton Manning, you better make a play." And he's going to press, and the interceptions are going to flow like water, and it's going to get out of hand. And I'm going to say it's going to be 38-13, and it's going to be, unfortunately, Andrew, it's going to be a lot of Cam Newton smiling, Superman, all that nonsense. Hopefully the only thing that'll make it a little less miserable is Roman Harper getting a pick six.
I feel like the Panthers winning the Super Bowl is a formality. Like, I feel like Cam Newton's already ready to do his whole media circus tour of, you know, smiling on camera and talking to Conan and Letterman and doing all that stuff, wearing ridiculous outfits. Like, I feel like that's already all been booked.
The Super Bowl's
like a formality.
Will you guys be stunned if Denver wins?
Stunned.
I'd be surprised.
I'll be really, really surprised. I just think Carolina.
I'd be happier.
Carolina's won.
I'd say I'd be happy for Manning to get one.
It's not that I think. Yeah, I mean, I want Denver to win, absolutely. Yeah. But it's not that I don't think. I mean, it's not that I think Denver's bad. Obviously, they've gotten to this point and they were very good in the AFC. But I just look at both teams and top to bottom, Carolina is just awesome. Offense, defense, and special teams, they're very good in all departments. They're a complete football team. They remind me of the Saints in 2009.
I think if
Denver is not a complete football team.
If Denver's quarterback, if they had the same quality of quarterback, Andrew, that they have now, but the name of the quarterback wasn't Peyton Manning, if it was Jay Cutler, I think Carolina would be an 11-point favorite.
I think people are holding on to this Peyton Manning X factor thing when the reality is he was one of the worst starters in the NFL this year.
Maybe you could. You might say he's one of the worst or the worst.
The worst.
I mean,
I don't know. He was probably better than Brandon Whedon.
All right, so we've all picked Carolina, unfortunately. But the fun part of the Super Bowl is prop bet. So. Will Peyton Manning be seen crying at any point during the entire broadcast? Yes, plus 600. No, minus 1,200. If Steph Curry is shown on the TV broadcast, what will he be wearing? Carolina jersey, Steph Curry customized, Carolina jersey, no jersey, Cam Newton jersey. This is my favorite. Will Mike Carey be wrong about a challenge?
Well, that's easy money right there.
Yes is plus 110. No is minus $1.50.
What was the Trump one?
I didn't.
Where are you getting these from?
I'm getting from your fine website.
The Trump one is like all the way down at the bottom. Right?
Wait, is porn site?
Yeah, it's porn site.
did you guys see Conan O'Brien asking Breeze if on the sidelines when he looks at the tablet if he was looking at porn?
He should have said, "Yeah, man,
I lost it."
Yeah, man, I go to Bang Bus. Hilarious. That would have been the best joke ever.
yeah, Conan, Big Mouth Pizza. What do you think?
I don't see the Trump one.
It's with all the other cross sport.
Oh, the cross.
It's considered a cross sport prop.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was. It was
exact cross sport prop. Let's see. Okay. Trump percentage points in the New Hampshire primary, or total points scored by the winning team in the Super Bowl. What will be higher?
I don't know. After Iowa, it's looking like might not be so high in New Hampshire.
I don't know, man. You think Trump's in like the mid 30s in New Hampshire? Because so if he gets to like 40, man, you think Carolina or Denver? Denver's not getting to 40 for damn sure. I don't know if Carolina can get to 40. That's
not on that defense.
Here's a fun prop bet that I made up, Andrew. What will be higher? The winning team's score or the 2016 total wins for the Pelicans?
Ooh. Oh, man.
They're at 18 now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say the former because, you know, at some point the Pelicans are going to realize they're not making the playoffs and they're going to start tanking.
Yeah. So if the Pelicans only...
they were like three spots away from...
Dave.
They're like,
come on, man.
There is no point in getting the eighth seed in the West because Golden State will bludgeon them over the head. Golden State bludgeoned them last year, and the Pelicans were so much better last year. Let's see. What are the odds the Carolina Panthers will win the 2016 Super Bowl and the Golden State Warriors will win the 2016 NBA title? Yes, 2-1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What will be higher, DeMarcus Cousins points and rebounds or Cam Newton rushing yards? I love all the cross.
I'll go with DeMarcus for sure.
Here's a fun one. Cross sports props. What will be higher, Tiger Woods' first-round score at the 2016 Masters or Emmanuel Sanders receiving yards? That's a tough one.
That's tough.
I would say, I don't know. Tiger Woods is kind of broke down. So, I mean, for Super Bowl, do either one of you like throw a big major Super Bowl party or go to one?
No.
Before
well, I mean,
kids,
here in,
sure.
here in New Orleans, Super Bowl Sunday is Bacchus Sunday.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So
is that every year or just this year?
No.
I mean, it just depends
on when Mardi Gras falls. But actually, I actually used to live on Napoleon Avenue on the parade route and on the actual side that the parade runs, and had a it was part of like an eightplex, a very weird building that you've probably never noticed if you've ever driven down.
Wait, Dave, we have breaking news.
What?
We have breaking Saints news during the podcast.
Are you serious?
I am serious. The what? Saints have signed Eric Harris of the CFL.
former teammate of Dalvin Bro.
Yeah. So have the Saints signed the Canadian Ricky Jackson?
Yes.
Probably.
Definitely.
Marcus Ball wants a word.
But I'm, you know, whenever the Saints.
Wait, is Marcus Ball on the Panthers still?
I think he might be.
Oh, you need to look that up right now.
Yeah. Let's see.
Anyway, wait, so I was in the middle of my story.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I used to have a fenced-in patio right there, right next to the sidewalk.
Yep, he's still in the Panthers, Andrew. Go ahead, Dave.
On the parade route, and I lived there the last time that the Super Bowl fell on Bacchus Sunday, which was when the Giants, it was David Tyree's helmet catch, the Giants and the Patriots. And so I had a big flat-screen TV set up outside on my patio, and we were able to watch the game and the parade simultaneously at the same time. It was awesome. It was like one of the best days ever.
Yeah.
Dave, were you a Giants fan growing up?
No. I didn't even like football. I actually kind of randomly liked the Packers and like Brett Favre.
Oh.
For a couple of years, randomly.
I
liked
Brett Favre.
10
as a kid.
So.
Actually, the only Super Bowl I ever attended was Packers-Patriots. Brett Favre's only Super Bowl win in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The only Super Bowl...
97.
The only Super Bowl I attended was the 2000 one with the Patriots and the Rams.
I will always regret not attending the Super Bowl, the Saints one, which I know Dave attended.
Yeah. I would have gone if we'd have won the ticket lottery. I'd have bought them.
Oh, well, yeah.
Hopefully the Saints can go this year and I...
And I went to the Ravens-Niners Super Bowl.
It'll be.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wait, that was the one where the power cut out, right?
Yeah. Yes. I was there.
Were you nervous that was like a terrorist attack?
When it first happened, I was like, "Wait a minute! Like, what the fuck is this? What's going on?" I was, you run through situations. You're like, okay, everybody's got to remain calm. Like, we can't have people like freaking out here. But obviously this is the day and age of smartphones. So, I mean, I was obviously the first thing I did was check the internet to see what people were saying about it. And nobody was saying anything about a terrorist attack. So I was like, okay, everybody be cool. It's cool. It was.
Dave cut out. Of course he did. So.
Was that a baby or a cat?
That was a baby.
Oh, cool.
So, we don't have...
New game on the podcast, baby or cat.
Baby or cat, baby. I like that. We only have a couple of questions. Let's see. Did the Saints just sign the Canadian Scott Shanley? Yes, they did. Monadula asks, political comparison. So Trump is Brandon Browner, huge promises but nothing when it comes to Showtime. Would Ted Cruz?
I would say that that's Jairus Byrd.
No, I would say Jairus Byrd is either Jeb Bush or Junior Gillette is Jeb Bush. Just a ton of money, just set on fire. Because Jeb Bush is spending about, for all you political nerds out there, you know he's spending like $200-300 million, and dude is polling at like 2%. I mean, that's...
Well, Trump is actually, Brandon Browner is actually a good Trump comparison because it's all bark and no bite, right?
Yeah. It's kind of, especially if Trump bombs in New Hampshire, right? You know? Although, Trump could kind of be C.J. Spiller. Because you had really not so much that you had these high expectations that he would do well, and he just keeps disappointing you over and over again. Or not.
Who not has living. High expectations for Trump?
Well, I mean, people have high expectations. Not that they like him, but that they think he'll they expect him to maybe win Iowa. They expect him to like crush people in New Hampshire. Like, there's an expectation that he'll win. Not that they'll like him. So like, if he doesn't win New Hampshire, it'll be a surprise. And people be like, I didn't see that coming. Like, C.J. Spiller was kind of like that. It's like, we all thought he was going to be good, and he was kind of a trash heap, and we're like, we didn't see him being a total fucking bust.
Okay,
Not that you like or endorse Trump or whatever. It's just, I think that, so that's like one of the only questions we have. I did a poor job of asking the questions late. So, I guess before the one last thing, let me see if we have any more. Nope, that's it. That's it for the questions. So,
Where's Nola Fredo?
They're
Dylan
Sir Gumbo? Let us down, man.
They're all out watching parades.
There's no parades today.
What?
They don't start till tomorrow. Knicks.
Oh. Well,
Knicks is tomorrow.
So there's no excuses, really. So anyway, hey, everybody, enjoy the Super Bowl. Please donate to the podcast. We need to raise some money, especially for Kevin, so he can find him a mail order bride. So go to Saints.
Wait, was that a baby or a cat?
That's a baby. So go to Saints Nation. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got season reviews, top plays, all kinds of fun stuff. Mock drafts, 7 rounds. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave's got prop bets. And I have a crying baby that I need to attend to. So until next week, I guess
dead baby jokes are off the table now.
Yeah. Until next week, the bar is closed.